Against a blue sky, a stone angel watches over a graveyard. A procession of funeral carts pass quietly by. Elizabeth narrates.
I hate those stories that begin with a funeral, but I'm afraid this one started the day we buried George. Not that we buried him. In the interests of the environment, we had him incinerated. My children conducted the service. They believe in the environment. But they don't believe in priests or vicars.
Elizabeth's children, Patricia and Edward.
Our father died playing golf.
On the long 15th, but right in the middle of the fairway.
We thank him for being a terrific father and grandfather. It was his wish that we invite you all to raise a glass to his memory in the clubhouse after the ceremony.
And it was also his wish that he should leave us accompanied by some of the music he loved best.
Elizabeth clasps her granddaughter's hands.
Magic moments, memories we've been sharing. Magic moments, when two hearts are caring.
You're right.
We walked in the park,
as well as could be expected.
The dark, the love and the kisses.
I think Dr. Wright, go ahead.
That wonderful time, you said you'd be mine.
I just hate
now
this
I call you
to you.
Mrs.
Edward, Patricia and Joanna's eyes widen in astonishment at her language. Elizabeth closes her eyes. Her mind travels back to the 1940s.
You're dead and you're great, no.
Can't hang about. Apparently they have one of these every 20 minutes at this time of year.
Well, who's going to tell her?
I'll go.
Joanna walks into the chapel and sits next to her tearful grandmother. Elizabeth reaches out and rests the girl's head on her shoulder.
What was that about the music?
Well, when I was 15, we lived near a dance hall, and there was a band. And some girls used to sing a song called I'll Be Glad When You're Dead, You Rascal, You.
Never heard of it.
When they started to play that sentimental rubbish in the crematorium, I shut my ears and that's what I heard.
I'll be glad when you're dead, you rascal, you.
Yes, and I got a fit of the giggles. I'm very ashamed.
Was Grandpa a rascal?
No. He was anything but. You may disagree, but...
No, I know what you mean. But he was kind, wasn't he? I mean, he would always pat me on the head and give me a pound.
You and me both, sweetheart.
You all right now? Can you cope with the wake?
Of course I can, dear. Leave me to the golfers.
This is the BBC General Forces Programme. London suffered the heaviest bombardment since the 1940-41 blitz last night in German air raids over the capital.
BBC, the last of the blonde bombshells. A flashback to the 1940s. Girls in bright red dresses are applying lipstick and powder. Judi Dench, Ian Holm, Leslie Caron, Olympia Dukakis, Cleo Lane, Joan Sims, Billy Whitelaw and June Whitfield. A 15-year-old schoolgirl, still in uniform, breezes in and sits at a chair by a mirror. She shrugs off her satchel and takes off her hat and coat. She unfastens her school tie, unplaits her blonde hair, and with a practiced hand, skillfully puts on her eyeliner. She powders her face, then puts on a long-haired blonde wig. Produced by Sue Armstrong, screenplay by Alan Plater, and directed by Gillies McKinnon. Next, she applies her lipstick, blending it with a finger. Present-day London. Elizabeth pays the taxi driver and makes her way to the open-air ice rink to meet her children, Patricia and Edward. A man on skates topples onto the ice and a busker plays an electric guitar to one side. At a table overlooking this...
So, have you made any plans, Mum?
I think I'll go for the creme brulee.
Oh, no. I didn't mean about the pudding. I meant to...
Oh, life after death.
Well, yes, I suppose so.
Well, life goes on, much as it did when your father was alive. I still go to the library twice a week. I still watch the quiz programmes on television every afternoon. Sometimes I get the answers right. I go out every Thursday with my children to some trendy restaurant. And I weep when necessary. Oh, and I look after Joanna when her parents want to expand their horizons. That's enough life for a woman half my age.
Can you have her on Friday? We've got tickets to the Magic Flute.
Fine. I'll cancel my darts night.
You don't play darts.
Oh, isn't that lovely?
What?
If your pulse doesn't quicken when you hear Hoagy Carmichael Stardust, then I've clearly failed as a mother. Thank you for lunch, my children. I'll see you next Thursday.
Do you think she's turning into a dotty old woman?
She's always done it. You talk to her and she makes all the right noises, but she isn't listening to you at all. She's listening to something going on inside her head. Whatever she's listening to now, it's just a bit further away.
Elizabeth walks up to the guitarist. He's in his 20s with bleach blonde hair and a leather jacket.
You're much too young to know those tunes.
What makes you think I know them?
You screwed up the changes into the middle eight. It was a good try.
Some sort of critic.
No, don't worry. It's only if the audience notices you're in trouble.
Back at home, she reaches down a large leather case from a cupboard shelf, opens it and lifts out a saxophone. It's dark outside as Joanna walks across the forecourt to the house's front door. She hears music and pauses, looking up at the light from an upstairs window. Inside, Joanna creeps quietly up the stairs towards the music. She reaches the top of the stairs and stands watching her grandmother play through the open door.
I didn't see you there.
That was amazing.
Thank you.
May I touch?
Well, of course.
I didn't know.
Remember that dance hall I told you about?
You rascal, you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I played in the band.
Do women do that, then?
What do you know about the war? The 1939-45?
We beat Germany 1-0?
It was an upside-down world. Women drove ambulances and worked in shipyards, and I played in the band. We called ourselves the Blonde Bombshells.
Were you a star?
Well, we played on the wireless once.
You were a star?
Yes, damn it, I was a star.
A 1940s dance floor heaves with couples dancing and enjoying music performed by 10 blonde girls in red dresses. Numerous sailors in uniform are among the happy crowd.
Grandma, why did you stop?
I stopped when the war stopped. Then I was a wife and a mother and a grandmother. something I did before I grew up.
But you carried on playing.
Well, I used to practice when your grandpa was out playing golf. But you're the first person to hear me for... dear God. Nearly half a century.
That's terrible.
Joanna, I need your advice.
I'll try.
What's the best way of showing respect for the dead?
That's easy. We go on living.
Elizabeth and the young guitarist busk together at the open-air ice rink. From a distance, an elderly man watches the couple perform. She plays the saxophone with ease. In fact, they've done well. The money they've collected includes pound notes.
You're truly amazing. You're too good to be busking.
I'm too old to have any other ambitions.
Why don't you take half?
Look, we play twice a week and you buy the drinks, okay?
Okay.
He finds a scrap of paper in his guitar case.
I think this might be for you.
Why?
Because it says, fancy a bit of fun, dearie.
Well, why should it be for me? If you say because I'm a woman, I'll smash you over the head with your guitar. My glass is empty.
Same again.
Please.
She's examining the notes when a grey-haired man in his 70s enters the bar and cautiously walks up to the table.
Do you?
Sorry?
Fancy a bit of fun. Do you mind?
He helps himself to the empty chair and regards her in wonderment. He wears a tweed jacket and a cravat.
It is Elizabeth, isn't it? Don't you remember? Metropole Ballroom, Moonlight Serenade, Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy from Company B.
Patrick.
You see, you do remember.
The man we were all warned about.
Well, at least offer me the hand of friendship.
I might never see it again. If you're going to do that, you might as well learn to play it properly.
I was just trying to catch the spirit of the moment. Are you going to introduce me?
Paul, down and out street musician. Patrick, venerable friend and war hero.
Ah, that's cool. What did you do in the war, Patrick?
I was a blonde bombshell.
From the audience, a young Patrick soaks up the music with a broad grin. He's enjoying himself watching those lovely girls on stage. When you're gone, that's for you.
Oh. Would you believe I recognise the way you play? That sound, sensual, erotic.
Don't be silly. What are you doing around here?
Betting shop. I'll give you a lift.
In that?
We'll drop off at my place.
Come on.
Well.
She's a little unsure of his gleaming maroon car with its bonnet in the air.
Don't worry about all that. It's my concessionary parking system. Whoops. You in?
Yeah.
He spies a traffic warden and sheepishly slams his bonnet down.
Hello.
Back in the 1940s, Patrick, with a coat over one arm, enters the dressing room filled with girls adjusting blonde wigs and putting on makeup. He removes his hat. He sits in front of a mirror, taking a blonde wig off its stand and replacing it with his hat. He casts a glance at the schoolgirl next to him, who returns it with only mild curiosity. He puts on a hairnet. She watches a second longer, then returns to her own makeup.
So, how come a nice girl like you is reduced to working the streets?
Oh, it's because I said fuck at George's funeral.
I assume George is a late lamented husband.
Yes.
He treat you well.
Well, he was kind and decent and generous and law-abiding.
Boring.
Mind your own business.
Thought so.
They pull up at an old, dishevelled building.
This is where you live?
Yeah.
Yes, it's what they call a grace and favour residence. My father had the grace to die and did me the favour of leaving it to me.
He pulls off his driving gloves and gets out to open the door for her.
I would be deeply honoured if you would step across the threshold and let my woodworm see you.
Hi, Patrick.
Hello, darling.
Didn't know you had a secret.
How's the masterpiece?
Bloody arm came off.
Who exactly is it? Darling.
Carol, lodger, art student.
Tomorrow, 4 o'clock. Hereford, Billy's Bounce.
Shirt, noted.
Ma'am.
True artist. Ex-jockey, tipster in residence. Known as the wee man and banned from every race course in the country. But the real glory is to be found downstairs in my personal crypt. There is something very special that I want to share with you.
What a surprise.
Oh, don't be silly. I never go all the way on the first date.
He leads the way across an unkempt hallway. Elizabeth walks into the room with a fond smile as she sees a very familiar-looking drum kit.
Same kit?
Yeah.
Of course, I remember the roses. Do you still play?
Only when nobody listens.
Patrick gestures to the mantelpiece where Elizabeth sees a black-and-white photograph. She can hardly believe it. It's their band on stage. He enjoys her reaction.
You were really pretty.
So were you. Why did you do this?
Because working with the Blonde Bombshells was the happiest time of my life.
What, life's been that bad?
Oh, I've been to prison once, married twice, bankrupt 3 times.
No, ain't you got fun?
Yeah, lots of fun. But those were the days. Best days. And I'll bet you a dollar to a donut you think so too.
Well, if I admit that, it's like admitting I've wasted most of my life.
Well, go ahead, admit it. I wasted mine, enjoyed every minute of it.
Well, I can't tell a lie. Only recently I was showing off to my granddaughter about being on the wireless.
Oh, that was your fault. For being beautiful and talented.
Oh, yes, I remember.
A young Elizabeth plays the saxophone, watched by Patrick, the drummer, in his red dress and blonde wig. A man in glasses and smart brown suit looks on with a warm smile from off stage.
Excuse me. You do play awfully well.
Thank you. Is this bastard bothering you?
I'm from the BBC.
Oh, beg your pardon. I took you for a civilian.
Yes.
Back to your place, sweetheart.
It's simply that I wonder whether you and your orchestra would be interested in broadcasting. I have to say, that girl plays beautifully. She's better than many a chap.
And a lot prettier. And it would be a joy and a delight to do business with you. Give me 30 seconds to wind them up and set them going. The next dance will be a quick step. Take it away, girls. A one, a two, a one, two, three, four. Come to the dressing room. We'll compare our arrangements.
Take it away, girls. Nobody ever says that now.
Long time since we were girls.
Well, I suppose, technically speaking, I never was.
You know, I've been thinking about it more and more since the funeral. We were heroic for a while. But nobody told us.
Hey, so when shall we two meet again? Sunday lunch?
Now, I'm taking my granddaughter to the zoo on Sunday.
Are you still sexually active?
What?
I love zoos.
Elizabeth, Patrick and Joanna walk past elephants at the zoo.
You were the only man in the band?
Yep. One guy and all those chicks.
Oh, do you mind? I'm not and never have been a chick.
How did you get the job?
Well, I couldn't find a girl to play the drums. Got quite word with Betty, the band leader. 2 pairs of nylon stockings and the job was mine.
Also, he was on the run.
Also, I was on the run.
Elizabeth and Paul are back busking at the ice rink. This time, Edward, Patricia and her husband Leslie are watching them.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be in the pub.
Mother, doesn't strike you that what you're doing is, well, just a little bit humiliating?
Well, you try it. Last week we had a request from a tourist for the Japanese national anthem. That's humiliating. So we gave him One Fine Day from Madame Butterfly and a jig about Pearl Harbor.
But it implies that you're broke and that we're not looking after you properly.
I'm not doing it for the money. Paul keeps the money. It's art, for art's sake.
And you do play very nicely. But why don't you play as a hobby?
Whereabouts? The old folks' home? After bingo?
What do we tell people?
Tell them the truth. Tell them the old bat's gone gaga. Oh, tell them to screw themselves.
Oh, Mother, for God's sake.
For God's sake, what? Shut up.
Believe me, we do understand. We know how you feel.
But you can't understand because I don't understand myself. I remember about feelings. I remember playing in the band in the Metropole Ballroom, Maresy Totes and Dozy Totes, and knowing that at any minute, a large bomb could fall on my head and blow us all to hell and back. And the house rules said you had to finish the tune before you went to the air raid shelter. That, my children, is how you learn about real feelings. But I was more alive at that time than before or since. That's an alarming thing to discover at my age. I don't understand it. I don't expect you to.
Patrick enters and waits by the door with a large bouquet of flowers.
Yes, my love.
Mum? Who's he?
My fancy man.
The family look on aghast as Patrick politely holds the door open for Elizabeth, tips his hat to them and follows her out.
Appears to be a man in her life.
Sorry to interrupt. That man with the flowers, who is he?
Some old transvestite, I think.
Do you know where you're going?
Of course I do. I don't remember this tunnel. Who will?
So, the Metropole Ballroom, scene of our youthful happiness, is now a carpet warehouse.
Back in its heyday, it's packed out.
My children.
Good. How else can they learn?
I tell them we went on playing even when the bombs were falling.
Oh, we didn't. We ran like buggery to the air raid shelter.
Do you know what would be lovely?
What?
To see them all again.
Don't be silly.
Maybe even to play together.
You should be put in a darkened room. Come on.
At the dog track.
Stones, The Who, Status Quo, all those Wrinklies from the 60s, they're always having reunion concerts and going on world tours. So why not the Blonde Bombshells?
So where should we play? The Albert Hall? Shea Stadium? Hollywood Bowl?
You could play our next school dance. I'm on the committee.
Let's just assume for the sake of argument that we track down the survivors of the band and prop them up in a line and they play some fragments of ancient music. Who would listen?
I would.
This is the BBC General Forces programme. The BBC is proud to present the most glamorous band in all the land, the Blonde Bombshells.
One, two, three, four.
Take it away.
Oh,
cars do you own?
As many as I can borrow.
Do we have to do this? Yes, we do.
Then we're going to need lots of flowers.
Well, we can use the money you lost at the dogs.
He looks serious for a moment as they climb into the small golden brown Mercedes convertible. In the Metropole Ballroom, a photographer takes a picture.
Vera? Vera? Do you remember me? Elizabeth. And Patrick, you remember him?
The blonde bombshells? In the war? Adolf Hitler? Winston Churchill? Tommy Handley?
You played the alto sax, remember? We sang like the Andrew Sisters.
Don't fence me in.
Mersey Dotes and Dozy Totes.
Pardon me, boy. Is that the Chattanooga choo-choo? Tractor.
Vera.
In the hospital corridor, their hopeful expressions sadden. Slowly, they turn from Vera in her wheelchair to look at each other. Elizabeth places flowers on Vera's lap. Elizabeth and Patrick stand at a grave. He lays a bunch of flowers.
Poor Joe.
Now they sit opposite a woman in a prison visitor's room.
Oh, the roses. They're lovely.
Well, at least you remembered us, Evelyn.
Oh, I remember you. You were always pretty. And I remember him. Somewhere. He was always flash.
What are you in for?
Legal tender.
Is that an offence?
Well, getting things, if you haven't got any legal tender, that's an offence.
Do you get to play any music?
There's a bird comes in once a week. Teaches what she calls musical therapy. But I never let on. You need your secrets in a place like this. Thanks for the flowers. They're lovely. Oh, look. A petal's fallen off already.
Alas, poor Evelyn.
This is all a ghastly mistake. Look. Guided tours of the cemeteries of England and goodwill missions to the living dead.
Oh, ye of little faith. But come on, look. Say hello. Isn't this a And you?
She fends him off with a gentle push.
You're looking good, sister.
That's because I am good.
And how long has this goodness been going on?
Since I dumped you, brother. You'll find that God is much better value in the long term. Are you looking for salvation?
Not exactly. We're trying to get the band together again.
The band? I'm sorry. I don't play that kind of music anymore.
It's for my granddaughter.
Not negotiable, I'm sorry.
I told you, it's a ghastly mistake. Oh. Have you got a small change?
Sorry.
Well.
I've had him checked out.
My God, you sound like the FBI.
The man used to run a casino. He's an undischarged bankrupt, and he's been to prison.
I can do better than that. She's rounding up her geriatric blonde bombshells and threatening to play at Joanna's school dance.
Edward looks dumbfounded.
So, where would you like to run away to today? It's your turn to choose.
Hastings, please.
But there's racing at Goodwood.
Yes, I know, but I've chosen Hastings. Betty, the band leader, lives at Hastings. She's expecting me with a friend.
I'm her ex-husband, for God's sake.
I know that. I'm sure she'll be perfectly civilised about it.
But this is Betty we're talking about.
We're going to need a band leader. That's reasonable, isn't it?
I'm not very good at reasonable.
Well, try harder.
Slowly, he smiles.
Hello.
They walk along a promenade towards a cafe. Inside, it's bustling. Between tables and people, a jovial woman with curly blonde hair sits playing a piano. The pair walk over to her.
Nice one, Betty.
Go, Betty.
She recognises them instantly.
Thank you, music lovers. Now, in response to many requests, there will be a short period of silence. That's it.
The one and only.
There'll never be another. Oh, darling, you haven't changed a bit. There's more than I can say to you, you old sod.
Thanks.
Come on, let's have a drink. And something for my friends.
Yes. Oh, vodka and tonic, please.
Glenlivet, a little water, please.
The old gentleman will pay. You were the star, you know. You were the youngest, the sweetest, and the most talented of the blonde bombshells. You were also the only virgin. You had me to thank for that.
Really? Should I be grateful?
The Metropole Ballroom during the 40s. People crowd together in an air raid shelter.
Are you frightened or just cold?
Both.
Stay close to me, darling. Mr. Churchill recommends it. Here.
Patrick puts his coat around Elizabeth, his hands on her shoulders.
Actually, I've got the keys to the boiler house. It's nice and warm in there.
Betty notices.
Oi.
Betty, I didn't see you there.
Elizabeth, sit. You, here. The girl is 15 years old. You try anything with her, you go to prison. Also, I will take my garden shears and personally castrate you.
All right, I can take a hint. When's her birthday? Ow!
I don't know why I ran a band. Most of the girls are a bleeding nightmare.
They were always very nice to me.
Well, that's because you were young and innocent.
All right. I'll show you something young and innocent.
Betty leads them downstairs and switches the light on in a room with a curtain along one wall.
If you tell anyone about this, I'll kill you.
Smiling, she throws the curtains open, revealing racks of costumes and wigs, all under polythene wraps. For a second, Elizabeth and Patrick are dumbstruck.
You old soft.
I can still get into this, you know. Size 14, short legs.
Who was this little girl? What became of her?
Wistfully, Elizabeth holds a red dress. After dark, she and Patrick lean over railings on the pier.
What's it like? Long marriage. I've only had two little ones.
It's warm and cosy, like an old pair of shoes. Or a wet dog. It's only after the kids leave home that you realise... Well, there are no surprises anymore. Mind you, a lot of people don't want surprises.
Do you?
I'm not sure. I might be developing a taste for them.
Patrick's flat the following morning.
Betty's in Hastings. Anne is in the arms of Jesus. Joan's dead. Vera's deranged. Evelyn's in prison. Madeline's missing in action. Dinah's somewhere in the States, and I've left numerous messages for Gwen.
So, is there a band or is there not a band? I need to know what to tell the committee.
Tell them there is no band. Tell them to hire a magician.
We could always pay off Evelyn's debts and get her out of the nick. That'd make four.
What about Annie?
I know these Christians. If they say no, they mean it.
What about pieces of silver?
That is a totally evil suggestion.
So please, think about it. Hello? You're speaking. Gwen?
Gwen!
I can't tell you how wonderful it is to speak to someone who's sane and alive and not in custody. Do you know the way to Wolverhampton?
If you can whistle it, I can play it. Nobody goes to Wolverhampton out of season. You need passports, malaria jabs, sturdy boots and armed escort.
Don't be silly. It'll be wonderful to see Gwen.
Won't be horrible.
On the board again, right in for a fall again.
Gwen sings on stage wearing a blue shimmering dress. From a table near the back of the cabaret club, the pair watch contentedly.
She's still terrific.
I know, she was my second wife.
So I'm taking a whack with any black cat I see. On the breeze again, and though I'd love to please again, I'm seeing a new reprise again. So ring down the curtain, it's love for certain, I'll take her the chance.
Gwen spots Elizabeth and Patrick. He blows her a discreet kiss.
You don't play anymore?
No, I retired when all those trumpet players came home from the wars wanting their jobs back. The men. You know what I mean. Besides, it was hard on the lips, babe. I stick to the singing.
No more triple tonguing.
That ceased to be your business long ago. Is it your business now, Elizabeth?
Absolutely not. Our sole purpose is to get the band together again.
You got a gig?
First of next month.
And what is it?
It's my granddaughter's school dance.
A school dance? I never played school dances even when I was at school.
Well, we're starting rehearsals next week.
Sweetheart, I have sung for my supper for half a lifetime, and I've done it all without rehearsals. I turn up at the gig. I moan about the piano, I hand out the parts, I count the guys in, and I get on with it.
Don't make it a social call. Come and see the girls.
There'll be a fight.
Well, come and see the fight.
Do yourself a favour, babe. Get rid of this man.
Why? What's wrong with him, apart from the obvious things?
Please welcome Gwen back to the stage.
Ask him about the roses.
He shifts uncomfortably in his seat.
A one, two.
The band, such as it is, rehearses back at Patrick's flat. Joanna's unimpressed.
All right, stop.
Now, that was terrible. Somebody was out of tune.
We were all out of tune.
I was in tune.
Yes, but you still can't count to four. How did it sound for you, darling?
I can see why the Germans bombed you.
See, we've got no top line, no bottom line, and there's bugger all in the middle. I know we can't have a double bass.
Why not? There's one in the picture.
That's Madeline. She's French. She left the band and went back to Paris to join the resistance. That's the last we've heard of her.
That's sad.
Oh, well, we'll have to manage without her, I suppose.
That's not good enough. You're all war heroes. I think you should try harder.
Where are you going?
Patrick knows just where to find another former band member. He waves to Annie and trots up to her.
Oh. Thank you, dear.
What are you...
collecting for?
The poor, the sick, and the dispossessed. You don't qualify.
Could the poor, the sick, and the dispossessed use £259? Because if you take this slip into that betting shop, they will give you £259.
I don't gamble.
You haven't. I was the one that gambled on a double at Newmarket.
Wages of sin.
You have my word. The races on this occasion were not fixed.
You know I can't take this.
Remember the parable of the talents? Matthew chapter 25. He that had received the 5 talents traded with them and made with them 5 more. And the Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, that's got to be an even money shop, whichever way you look at it.
If I take this, what do I have to do?
Whatever the good Lord in his infinite wisdom tells you. I hope that he would suggest you multiply your talent and spread its sweetness across all the earth.
Smiling, she's won round.
Dear, it's amazing. The more we rehearse, the worse we sound. Well?
The committee meets tonight. What do I tell them?
Well, tell them we need a good lead trumpet so at least the punters will guess what we're trying to play.
I found this old Christmas card from Dinah.
Was there anyone finer?
She married a GI and moved to the States. I dumped him and found me 1 or 2 more. Oh, she's been living in Scotland.
Scotland? I've been phoning a number in New York, getting some very rude answers.
The last one was rich, and when he died, he left me this place. His hobby was collecting small countries.
The jammy cow!
Do you mind? Language.
So, what do I tell the committee?
Tell them we're playing.
Are you sure?
No, but tell them we're playing.
Edward's on his mobile.
Yes, but have you heard the latest? She's going to Scotland with him.
I think we should meet the man.
Well, you know me. I've always had a thing about older men.
That's not a nice word to use to your sister.
Edward and Patricia don't realise they've been talking on their phones within feet of each other. Back in the 40s...
Anyone else but me. Anyone else but me. No, no, no. Don't say funny.
Mr BBC stands at the front of the crowd, puzzling over the particularly odd-looking woman on the drums. Patrick gives him a sly, sassy wink. In the gents.
Oh. Hey, would you come and play for the GIs? I mean, we'd guarantee to have the boys down, of course.
Well, sir, it would be an honour to be of service to Mr. Roosevelt.
Mr. BBC joins them.
Excuse me. Are you a chap?
Yes, that's why I'm standing up.
Junior young fellow, should be in the armed forces.
Absolutely not. I've taken advice. Dressed like this could be far too easy a target.
You just bought yourself one way ticket to Sheffield, huh?
Outside, Patrick is frog marched into a waiting jeep.
Elizabeth!
Patrick?
Come on, Patrick!
Please, you can't! Patrick!
It's a far better thing that I do now than I've ever done. And frankly, my dears, I'd rather not be doing it at all.
That lad ought to be ashamed of himself.
Elizabeth, you play beautifully, sensual, erotic.
Can anybody play the drums?
Well, I've picked up the odd hint that you're unhappy about my friendship with Patrick. So here he is, and he's very happy to explain himself.
I think it isn't the friendship as such. It's just too soon.
Too soon after your father's death?
At a time when I'm still emotionally vulnerable.
Well, yes.
And that being so, Elizabeth should not be consorting with an aging Lothario.
Even though he sends me flowers 2 or 3 times a week.
My concern is about you making terrible fools of yourselves and of us at the school dance.
Patrick will answer all the charges.
May I offer the case for the defence?
Please. We're here to listen.
Thank you. Well, I'll start with the easy bit. It's true that in the beginning I wore a pretty frock. And I played Run, Rabbit, Run when I was one of those rabbits and I was running. And later on, after I donned the khaki, I did win some medals.
You won medals? Can we see them?
I always carry this one. as a good luck charm. I was carrying it the day I met your grandmother again after all these years.
Is it a good one?
Yes, it is. It's a military cross.
Seriously brilliant.
But it's all irrelevant. What you have to understand is that for 6 years, we all lived with the possibility that every second of the day or night we could be killed. And that focuses the mind. It's frightening, yes, but it's also liberating. The ultimate gamble. The biggest crap game ever invented. And your mother and I, we feel guilty.
Do we?
How many died? 20, 30 million? And yet for some of us who survived, it was totally wonderful. Mm. Totally wonderful, true or false?
True.
And we can't say it out loud except to other blonde bombshells.
I'm playing at the dance. Well, that's our little attempt to have one last gamble before we shuffle off to the great metropole ballroom in the sky.
Hmm.
That was very impressive. When did you win the military cross?
I forget exactly. 1963, for...
Which war?
Well, actually, I won it at poker from an old war hero down on his luck.
That's despicable. I was desperate. I want your family to like me.
A white E-type Jaguar.
What the hell is that?
This belongs to Sid.
Well, who's Sid? Another weird lodger?
He used to be my partner in the casino until he decided to go straight. And now he sells used cars. I told him, Sid, I need to borrow a really special motor to take a really special someone to Scotland.
Oh, well, you can thank Sid very much, but I'm not coming with you.
What?
I got my credit card statement this morning.
So?
All those flowers you've been sending me, you've been charging them to my bloody credit card.
Well, obviously. I mean, I'm not allowed one, am I? And I only spent the money on you.
Well, how did you get the number?
I used my initiative.
You looked in my handbag.
You make it sound horrible.
Yeah, it is horrible. You're pathetic.
All right, all right. I apologise. I'm devastated. I should have asked your permission.
Oh, shut your face. Go to Scotland. Come back with a trumpet player.
Won't be the same without you.
Well, go to the dogs. Go to Wolverhampton. Go to hell. I don't care.
That's a pity, you know. Sleeping beauties generally weigh in at 100 years.
And the usual arrangement is for the frog to turn into the prince, not the other way around.
He watches after her for a moment, then tugs at the car door. It won't open.
Bloody door.
Patrick resorts to gingerly stepping over the closed door and lowering himself into the driver's seat.
You take the high road and I take the low road, and I'll be in Scotland before ye. But me and my true love will never meet again on the bonny, bonny banks of the Lough. By yon bonny banks and by yon bonny braes, where the sun shines bright on the Lough. On the bonny, bonny banks of the Glomond. Oh, you take the high road and I take the low road, and I'll be in Scotland before ye. But me and my true love will never meet again on the bonny, bonny banks of Loch Lomond.
Patrick's car speeds along a leaf-strewn avenue towards a tall, castle-like house.
Loch Lomond!
Coming home, Alec.
Pardon?
You'll be the gentleman. And this'll be your suitcase. It'll be chilly, I dare say.
Yes, it's just possible.
Sure. This'll help.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
He leans into the car and passes Patrick a whiskey.
Oh, great dogs.
Patty, Maxine, and Laverne. After the Andrews sisters.
One of them's a boy.
The lady of the house is most insistent in the matter of names.
Good God. When did you get here?
I'm the overnight sleeper. Central heating. And a roof.
Does this mean I'm forgiven?
Absolutely not. I didn't think you'd come. But we needed a trumpet player. And I didn't trust you to deliver one. I wouldn't trust you to deliver a bottle of semi-skim milk.
Thanks so much. You seen Dinah?
Apparently the lady of the house doesn't appear in the hours of daylight.
Probably bricked up in the west wing.
The gentleman has finished his wee dram. I'll show him to his accommodation.
Patrick scrambles awkwardly out of the car.
Prepared two bedrooms. The lady of the house was of the opinion you would require only one. How many rooms would you be requiring?
Two, please.
And would they be adjoining for personal preference?
No, they should be separated by a wide stretch of water for personal preference.
Thank you, McNab.
Ma'am.
Thank you, Dinah. That was a wonderful meal.
And it's a nice little place you've got here.
I married well. And frequently. But I know all the dirt on me. I want to know the dirt on you. Does this mean you've completed the set, Patrick?
There's no dirt on us. We're pure as the driven snow.
I hate snow. It's so goddamn quiet.
What do you mean, completed the set?
He hasn't told you about the roses on the drum kit?
No, I've tended to go off flowers recently, as it happens.
Are you going to tell her or shall I?
Dinah takes another sip of her whiskey and looks as though she enjoys seeing Patrick squirm.
Well, actually, I got the idea from the Spitfire pilots during the war.
Pardon me, boy, is that the Chattanooga choo-choo? Truck 29.
On the ballroom stage, Patrick's bass drum has a single rose painted at the top of its circular rim. He grins at Madeline on the double bass, their eyes meet, and suddenly there are two roses on the drum. He and Betty exchange sly little grins, and another rose appears. One by one, Patrick gives and gets the eye from each of the girls in the group, until there are eight roses painted around the front of the bass drum.
Yeah, he screwed a lot of us.
I suppose I looked upon it as my contribution to the war effort.
And what about the fight?
Never mind about the adolescent sex and the fights. What about the music?
What you tell me is that the Blonde Bombshell reunion band thus far comprises you two, a foul-mouthed piano player, an alto player out of the slammer on bail, a trombone player in the arms of Jesus, a de facto lunatic, two corpses, and a singer who won't show up in the night.
And not forgetting your lovely self.
Do you still play?
Do I still play?
She gets up to fetch her trumpet.
A little story. My grandson plays trumpet in his high school band in Boston, Massachusetts. On a recent visit to Grandma's Magic Castle in downtown Brigadoon, he consulted me. I gave him a lesson, and guess what? I can still blow this thing. I can still part the waters and bring down the walls of the city.
She collapses.
Sadly, the lady is an officially recognized alcoholic.
Does this often happen?
Every night. But she knows she is an alcoholic, and apparently that's the first step towards a cure.
How long's it been going on?
Since the Second World War. An unhappy love affair, seemingly.
Men can be swine.
So I'm led to believe.
Patrick looks guilty as Diana's put to bed. He races after Elizabeth on the stairs.
Elizabeth!
What?
Yes. I need to ask you something.
Patrick.
Do you mind if I sit down?
It's been a long day. And I'm not cold, and I'm not frightened. And there are no bombs falling. Scotland's not at war. And I've no intention of completing your set.
All right. Look, what's it like being a woman?
What?
Well, sit down. Well, you see, the last weeks, I've relived quite a lot of my past life. And most of it seems to have been a bit of a shambles.
Well, that was well spotted.
And I think quite a lot of that shambles could have been avoided if I'd tried a bit harder to understand women. Which is odd, since I pretended to be one for so long. But, well, that doesn't really help. I mean, women, well, you're different, aren't you?
Yes, we have babies and husbands and washing machines.
I see your family and I see three generations of women and it's lovely. Wish I had generations. Well, it's too late for that. It's too late for everything.
No, not everything. But I'm going to bed now.
Why did you marry George?
Patrick, you know what it was like. When I was a young woman, your sole purpose in life was to get engaged to a young man with prospects. So I did. I met him at a staff dance.
A dance? What was the band like?
Oh, lousy. Jimmy Dickinson and his rhythm rascals.
I was a rhythm rascal once. Now I'm serious and responsible. And I think I'm in love with you.
No, you're not. You're just cold and frightened.
He looks at her softly, and she leans forward and kisses him on the forehead.
Good night, Patrick.
Good night.
She leaves him sitting alone on the spiral staircase by the suits of armour standing in alcoves along the walls. He watches her go. He remembers a schoolgirl running after his army truck. He leant out and kissed her. The memory brings a smile.
Nice doggies. Stay home, look after the lady. She's a fine musician, but she's not very well.
Patrick and Elizabeth head for the car.
Hey, where the hell are you guys going?
London, we've got a gig.
I'm held prisoner here against my will. Wait, I'm coming down.
God, she's coming with us.
What do we do, head for the hills?
These are the hills.
Back in London. In the school playground, two girls put up a brightly coloured poster for the school dance featuring the Blonde Bombshells. Preparations are underway.
Stage management, up the ladder.
Hi, guys. Sound check in 10 minutes, OK?
Right, now you go. Hello, this is it, D-Day.
Are you nervous?
No. Terrified.
Any news on Dinah?
Yes, she's happily ensconced in the Savoy Hotel. We saw her at breakfast. She was planning on ordering a small distillery from room service for later on.
Oh, God. I'm in charge of catering. Les is doing decorations.
Oh, hi, Leslie. You're working well. The decor's going to be a wow.
Oh, I don't really like wows.
Hey, what manner of place is this?
This is where we're going to make sweet music.
Forget it, she's here.
Evelyn!
Oh,
you're looking good for a jailbird.
I've been rehabilitated.
Annie!
Dinah, good to see you.
Betty!
Glad you could make it, Dinah.
Ah, the famous roses.
Oh, him and his bloody roses.
Just for the record, mine is quite definitely there under false pretenses.
I've been drinking. I don't remember very much about it.
As far as I recall, it was deeply embarrassing and desperately quick.
It was horrible. I try not to think about it.
I haven't seen you guys since the big fight.
Oh, look, will somebody tell me about the big fight? It was the day we were going to play for the Yanks. You couldn't come. They wouldn't allow you off school.
An American army camp. In the rain, GIs crowd excitedly round a bus full of blondes.
I love Americans.
This
one's
one of the records.
Not like
the
boys back home.
Marry me, I love you!
Fun tonight.
Girls, calm down.
Hi, girls.
Hello.
Welcome to New Jersey on Tam.
It's a pleasure to be here.
A pleasure to be here.
Yeah, well, that remains to be seen. See, we've got a slight technical difficulty.
They pick their way over piles of debris.
Uh-oh. This
is it. Watch your heels, girl.
Welcome to our social club.
Social?
Careful, Diana. What happened?
So much for our big night.
A doodle bug.
Doodle bug.
Flying bomb.
I hope we still get paid.
The guys were real disappointed. They heard you on the radio and they found out you're all redeemed. Well, you can imagine.
Well, I'm a little disappointed, I have to say.
That's the lady from the bathroom.
Hey, girls.
Darling boy.
Put the man down. He's mine.
Excuse no, me. He isn't. Patrick and I are secretly engaged. And I want everyone to know it.
Well, I've got some news. He's actually engaged to me. He's even met my mother.
Sorry, girls. He's marrying me as soon as the war's over. And I just bought Silk Nighty on the black market.
He's marrying me. I spoke to the vicar and he gave me some booklets.
Oh, he proposed to me in the boiler house on Tuesday.
He proposed to me on Thursday.
You're all wasting your time. Patrick's already married to me.
Come on.
Please. We got married this morning.
Patrick, you lying bitch.
Tell them, dear.
Yes.
Tell us.
Lie to us. Please.
Patrick, tell us. Go on, what's all this rubbish? It's true. I got a 48-hour pass so I could get married. And play the gig. And anyway, tomorrow I go off to foreign parts.
If you live that long, he won't.
Hey, come on, bring it on. Oh, well, how was it?
You tell them.
Diana, you were sharp. Evie, you were flat. And Annie, you were in tune, but you've forgotten how to swing. And Patrick, you sound like you're wearing a surgical boot.
What about me?
Oh, you were fine, darling.
She would say that. You're her favourite.
Oh, please.
Girls, girls.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, don't
you screw yourself, Patrick.
That's as individuals. As a unit, we were crap. Maybe we were crap way back in 1944, except in our dreams. Hey, and that's another thing. There's to be no drinking on the stand.
Sorry, babe. This is not negotiable. Sober, I can't play a note. Drunk, I can't play a note. But there's a point in the middle where I play like a goddamn angel.
Please, Dinah, do you mind? I'd rather you didn't blaspheme.
This is a bandstand, sister. If you don't like it, get thee to a fucking nunnery.
That's enough. I resign.
I resign.
A fight develops just like it did all those years ago.
Girls,
me too.
I'm going back to the prison. At least people are nice in prison.
Come back.
Sudlow!
Your husband just dropped the bomb on the family.
Stop! You're not going anywhere. You lot, you're a disgrace to women.
I wouldn't disagree with that.
Don't you realise what's at stake here?
What's at stake? I can't think of anything.
For a start, the dance is in an hour's time. And there's £100 in it for you. I had to fight the committee to get it.
Is that £100 each?
No, between you, to share. And tea and biscuits.
If I give you £100, may I proceed peacefully to the nearest liquor store?
No, you may not. And what about all my calls to the French embassy? In French?
What's she talking about?
Tracking down your Madeleine.
Salut tout le monde, c'est moi.
Madeleine? Madeleine, do you still play?
A 5'3" woman doesn't lug that instrument across Europe on public transport just for the fun of it. Have you started without me?
Only because we thought you were dead.
Oh, I'm very much alive. Not so sure about the rest of you, though.
Paul, the busker, steps forward to help her with her double bass.
Elizabeth!
And Patrick?
Patrick! The man who was going to marry me.
Salaud!
Joanna covers a smile.
Now we can rehearse.
Evelyn, Annie, Joanna and Diana stand by the foot of the stage, tapping to the rhythm as the others play. Elsewhere in the school, another kind of band. Annie and Evelyn push their way through the excited children.
Apparently they're called open wound.
Open what?
Wound. And the music they play is retro punk.
Well, I can't tell whether this is any good or not.
I think we might be in the wrong place.
I think we might be in the wrong bleeding century.
In a dressing room very similar to the one they used to use, the women nervously get themselves ready.
Any news of Gwen?
Not as yet.
If she doesn't show, we'll kill her. You'll see to it, right, babe?
There's a geezer comes in the bar. He's in that line of work.
I know how to kill people.
Do you really know how to kill people?
Oh, it was necessary in the Résistance. That's why I play music. Music is the only clean thing I know.
Annie's shocked and hurriedly turns back to her lipstick.
Now, how's that?
Second favourite lips.
Patrick's wearing a hairnet as he used to. Wartime, and Elizabeth chases an army truck along an empty road after dark.
Sorry.
Sorry? What for?
Patrick's amongst the soldiers.
It's all my fault. If I hadn't been beautiful and talented, we wouldn't have been on the BBC. The man from the BBC wouldn't have seen you in the lavatories. And then you wouldn't have been arrested. And you wouldn't be going off to almost certain death.
Patrick leans out of the back of the army truck. With a hand around her neck, he kisses her.
That was you?
Well, of course it was.
I've been wondering for years who that little schoolgirl was. Maybe not years, but a good 20 minutes, certainly.
Oh, shut up. Say something sensible for once.
Will you marry me?
Absolutely not. You don't even remember you gave me my first grown-up kiss.
Not very good at remembering.
I'm still waiting for the second.
They sit there smiling at each other.
Open Wound will be back later this evening. And now it's my pride and privilege to introduce, well, my grandmother actually, and the Blonde Bombshells.
Most of the crowd starts to go.
Thank you, Joanna. A long time ago, when the world was young, I was a blonde bombshell. I wasn't much older than a lot of you here this evening. Now, several decades later, I made a discovery. That old people are just young people who've been around for a long time. Here's one. From London, England. Direct from the all-night casino. The little boy who never grew up. And the finest transvestite percussionist of our time. Patrick on the drums. From the end of the pier at Hastings, also in England. A woman who has lived suspended over the deep end of the ocean for a long time and as yet hasn't fallen in. Betty on piano.
Betty smiles to the crowd.
From the blood-soaked continent of Europe, a woman who tells it like it was, is, and evermore shall be, Madeline on bass. From the Highlands of Scotland, trailing clouds of glory, malt whiskey and alimony, Dinah plays the sweetest trumpet this side of Jericho. On to Conman from Christianity with a note countersigned by God, we say Amen with Annie on trombone. On parole from the debtor's prison and getting help and care in the community, Evelyn on alto sax.
Only a few of the remaining kids bother to clap. Gwen enters the stage in a sparkling dress.
I thought I'd come along to the fight.
She's here. It's about time, Gwen.
Well, you missed it.
Oh, shoot. Sure.
Are you going to sing?
Introduce me.
From the Latin Quarter of Wolverhampton, the woman with a voice of gold who never ever plays school dances and totally unrehearsed, Gwen! From the leafy suburbs of South London, the bombshell who made all this possible, Elizabeth on tenor sax.
In period costume, Edward and Patricia look on with broad smiles. Joanna jumps up and down excitedly in her seat.
Put it all together and what have you got? Ladies and gentlemen, the blonde bombshells of the third age.
It don't mean a thing if you ain't got that swing.
Edward and Patricia start dancing amid balloons on the hall floor. The young audience begins to warm to the band's music. The hall floor's now packed with dancing, laughing children. For a moment, Elizabeth sees a crowd of applauding regulars in the Metropole Ballroom. Back in the present, Patrick looks shifty. There's another newer rose painted on his bass drum.
Sweetheart, I've just seen his lordship's drum kit.
Yes?
Does that mean what we think it means? He's completed the set?
We found the keys to the boiler house.
And about time, too! You're not going to marry him, are you?
Oh, why shouldn't she? Everyone should marry Patrick at least once.
But I'm not. He was right the first time. All I wanted was a bit of fun, dearie.
They call me a coquette and mademoiselle, and I must admit I like it quite well. It's something to be the darling of all, the grand femme fatale, the belle of the ball. There's nothing as gay as life in Paris. There's no other person I'd rather be. I love what I do. I love what I see. But where is the schoolgirl that used to be me? Blossoms in the breeze that we walked amongst, lying in the hay, games we used to play while the rounds were sung only yesterday, when the world was young.
Elizabeth glances over her shoulder to Patrick. They gaze at each other lovingly.
When the world was young.
Betty has started promoting the bombshells again and booked us into every seaside venue that will take us. Annie allows herself to play the devil's music, but has given up trying to save the souls of musicians. Evelyn has joined a government think tank on the subject of prison reform. Madeline continues to be slim and beautiful. We hate her for this. Gwen has made several award-winning albums of songs so old that most people think they're new. Dinah gives up drinking on a regular basis and has married her manservant. She now calls herself Mrs. Brown. I change my credit card, but I realise I can't change Patrick. He wants to make an honest woman out of me, but that would spoil everything. Being a blonde bombshell is still the most fun I've ever had. So far.
We'll have a happy ending now, taking a chance on love. Here I stand again, about to beat the band again. Oh, I am feeling grand again, taking a chance on love. Here I come again, gonna make things hum again. I'm really acting dumb again, taking a chance on love. I never dreamed in my slumbers and gambling was taboo. Now I'm playing the numbers and my number one number is you.
And if you need to hire a band for your wedding, wake or bar mitzvah, the Blonde Bombshells are usually available. Take it away, girls!